this morning to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I love Palm Sunday. I think about, man, I think what's so great is that and Josiah played it there, and we're talking about it. Jesus is still alive. He's still alive. We don't say serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen and living Savior. Man, I can imagine Palm Sunday, they were all fired up. Man, Jesus came through the town, and man, things went south quickly. But man, the victory that was won on Easter Sunday, man, that was so much greater than even Palm Sunday. But man, what a great time to be in God's house. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's pray. God, we come before you today, Lord God, acknowledging that you are Savior and that we are nothing. Lord God, we're nothing. Lord, we come and Lord, I believe and I pray in the most humble way possible, we come and worship you in song and in any different things, Lord God, that you blessed us with. We come and bring those humbly, Lord God, to you because you've given all to us. Lord, may it on Palm Sunday not ever be said that we didn't give praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords here at Gilgrove Baptist Church. Lord God, we're nowhere without the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, we think of, Lord, all that goes on in a week. And Lord God, it touches my heart to think of Miss Taylor. Lord God, reunited with Marcia. Lord God, what a time that was. What a hard day that was. But Lord God, reunited because of the promise of your word. Lord God, we thank you for that. God, we pray that you'd be with that family. God, this morning I pray, Lord, you'd move among this place. Lord God, where two or three are gathered, Lord, in your name, you show up even more so in your house. In your house, Lord God. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, today would be their day of salvation. Lord God, may we be a different church, Lord God, because we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you be with Pastor John Mark this morning. Lord, I know I prayed. I pray that others have prayed to give him power. Lord God, we need it in this hour. Lord God, that he would preach a message from your word, Lord God, and that we'd be, Lord God, just filled with what he gives us through you. God, may you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Thank you for the music, man, this morning. Great job. Choir as always, man, and looking forward to next week as they get to sing some more songs for us. And man, that's going to be great. And then thank you to our quartet, man, we love that song, and they did a great job with that. And then Josiah and the offertory, thank you for all the music this morning. And man, just what a great Sunday it is. Looking forward to Easter Sunday, and man, always a great time to celebrate what God has done for us. Read the verses, Genesis chapter 12, and we've been in Genesis here for a while. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about this chapter and some of these verses here. I was thinking about this when I was growing up, and this story came to mind, and I don't know what your life was like. Man, we had a wonderful home and a great time. Now, when we were young, when I was a child, we didn't travel a whole lot. All right, we didn't go a lot of places. we didn't. In fact, most of our vacations, since Dad was a pastor, were at preaching conferences. All right, and that was pretty exciting to go around and find different preaching conferences, different places. And so we go to those some, and rarely, especially when I was young, we didn't do a whole lot of vacations. We did later on when I was a teenager, I guess, and we started going to Pennsylvania some then. And but But there was a 1 year, and I don't remember, I was probably 8 or 9, somewhere in there, maybe 10 at the most. I think it's probably 8 or 9. And we went on a vacation. We took a journey. We took a journey, and it was about, back then it was a long ways away, probably about 4.5-5 hours away. And I think, and our mom could tell, I would get her up here and tell the story, all right, but she'd probably tell the story better than I would. But if I remember right, mom and had seen something in one of the magazines. Maybe it was, y'all remember Southern Living? Anybody get Southern Living growing up? Southern Living magazine, one of my favorites, Brother Jeff. I tell you what, man, I could read that thing all day long. But I think it's one of those, Southern Living or something like that. And mom had seen something in there, and she and dad talked about it. And so they decided to take us to the Land of Oz. Land of Oz. And I don't know, Brother Jason, if you remember, because he was younger. He was around, but he was younger. And so we went to the Land of Oz amusement park. And it is up in the mountains of North Carolina. And so we went, and honestly, memory's a little fuzzy as I get older. I think they, if I remember right, it wasn't a surprise, as in I think they told us where we were going. You know, man, get Land of Oz and Dorothy and the Tin Man and kind of these young people, y'all just did that, man. It was great. So it brought that to mind. So we headed to the Land of Oz. And I still, I don't remember much about it. It was, to be honest with you, I don't remember if we went to motel first and then went there, but I know it was a 5-hour trip. And also know that anybody that had to spend time with me as a 7 or 8 year old for 5 hours, mom and dad could not have been in a very good mood by the time we got there. But I still remember in the anticipation, sort of building. And so we head there, and again, it was up in the mountain somewhere, and it's, and I don't remember anything about the trip except the very end. And so we're coming, and we sort of come around, and it's up on the mountain there, and we go, and we pull there, and it's closed. Not closed as in closed for the day, like closed forever. Like permanently closed. And we pull in, and it's just, and you can tell it's been a while since anybody's actually been there. Listen, it's for the days of internet and cell phones, and you got to trust Southern Living if they tell you something, right? So, but we didn't know it had already been shut down forever and ever and ever. And we took this journey to nowhere. You imagine that. Now, I think at this point, you imagine how disappointed dad and mom were. Like, finally, we let these kids out, 4 kids out of the car, and now we're stuck with them. But they did a great job. We ended up, only, I just looked it up this week, only about four, and this again, for the days of internet, so I'm sure dad had the map out trying to figure out. Anyway, but only less than 40 minutes away is, anybody ever been to Tweetsie Railroad? You've been to Tweetsie Railroad before? Okay. So they did a quick pivot, and we ended up at Tweetsie Railroad, got to ride a train, had my first horse ride ever. So I remember it ended up being good. But we took a journey, and we thought we knew where we were going, but we really didn't know where we were going, right? And where we ended up is not where we started out. Well, in this passage here this morning, Genesis chapter 12, we get introduced to a new Bible character that we haven't talked about yet in the book of Genesis. And not just a character, this is a real person. And Abram, we call him Abraham, is what God changed his name to. But he's mentioned here at the very end of chapter 11. But then in chapter 12, we get to be present for the beginning of Abraham's journey. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. All of us are on a journey. You all have a story about your journey in life. You think about your life, where you are today, and how you've gotten here. And that's a story you have. That's your journey. And so we have the journey of Abraham beginning here in Genesis chapter number 12. And the first mention, his name's mentioned in chapter 11, but this is really the first story we have about Abraham. And so we see the journey begins here in verse number 1, as we read these verses, and it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." And so we have here the story of Abraham starts with the call of God in his life. And the Bible tells in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll go there in a little bit, but it says, by faith, Abraham. You know, Abraham's journey started when he put his faith in Jesus Christ. That's when it started. You know, and that's what we don't have anything about Abraham really before he's 75 years old, and he would live for another 100 years after this. But that's where his journey, let me tell you something, your life really, your journey begins the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's really your journey. And that's what your testimony is. We were out yesterday, Josiah and I, out and visiting some houses, and we talked to a guy. He's 64 years old. And he gave us his testimony. And in fact, he said he gave us a date in September when he got saved 32 years ago. And that's, you know, that's when his journey began. He talked about the life he had before. He was into gambling, into drinking, and just living a life, really, said, that's full of sin. And then the Holy Spirit began to convict him. Boy, this is encouraging to me. He said he started going to church, and every Sunday he'd hear the gospel. He said, just started convicting him. You know, sometimes we get a little discouraged. I mean, somebody came to church, they heard the gospel once, and then he gets saved. You know, sometimes it takes a little while. They say he heard it over, and he heard it over, and he said, man, he just wanted to sort of get away, but he kept coming back, and he heard it again and again and again. And then his story of his journey was this. He actually got saved. He'd been saving up money for all, because he loved to gamble, took a trip out to Las Vegas. On that trip, got convicted, got down on his knees in his motel room, and said, I can't do this anymore. And he said the last 32 years he hasn't drunk, hasn't gambled. He said God took that stuff away when he got saved. No, that's his journey began. That was his story to tell. You've all got a journey that you're on and a story that you have to tell. And Abraham's journey begins here with the call of, as he accepts what God has done by faith, and then the call of God on his life. And so God gives him God's word. It says God said. And let me tell you, when we get saved, when we trust God, there's going to be some things we have to get away from. In verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Hey, let me just explain something to you this morning. You don't have to change anything in order to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But if you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, it's going to make some changes in your life. It's going to make a difference in your life. I'm a little leery of these people. Hey, I got saved and nothing's changed in their life. They're still living the way they were living before. They're still living in sin. They're still doing things that go against the Word of God. They're still, boy, their language is the same. Their lifestyle is the same. Their friends is the same. Hey, if we're saved this morning, it's going to make some changes in your life. That's what's going to happen. And so as he followed God's path for him and God's calling for him, God says you're going to have to get out of some things. Hey, you're saved. There's some things we should stay away from as Christians. Hey, we have to make that decision and follow what God said to do. And God gives us some instruction. He said, hey, why did you need to get away from that? Well, look, hold your place here. We'll come back in a second. But I want you to go to Joshua chapter 24. Bible says there here in Genesis 12:1, get away from out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Say, why did God tell him that? Hey, I want you away from the country in. From the kindred, your family, from your father's house. Joshua chapter 24, as Joshua brings the people of Israel together to give them a charge before he dies. And of course, the well-known verse in verse 15. But before we get to the time of choosing, before we get to the choice that Joshua has already made, that he's encouraging the people here to make, I want you to look back at verse number 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Hey, Terah, the father of Abraham, is somebody that served other gods. So back to Genesis chapter 12, God said, hey, you got to get away from that. Hey, you're living amongst a group of people that are serving false gods. And there's only one true God, and if you're going to serve me, if you're going to follow me, then you have to get away from those that are serving other gods. When God calls you, when you get saved and then God calls you, what you are comfortable with should change. Hey, You know, the things you're comfortable with before salvation should be different after salvation. And there's some things that, boy, I was okay with that before, but now that I'm saved, boy, I can't be a part of that anymore. I can't be around that anymore. And by the way, the first people to notice that should be who? Should be your family. Hey, you got saved, your wife should say, man, he's acting a little better than he used to. He's a better husband. Your children say, hey, that's a better father, a better mother. Your husband, that's a better wife. Your family, and then, man, there's something different. I don't know if those of y'all, if you remember, especially if you were saved as an adult, but I know my parents' testimony, they were saved as adults. Man, the first thing they did was what? They went to all the family. Hey, let me tell you what happened. They excited about that, wanted to share that with those that they loved and cared about. And there's going to be those around you, they see a difference in the way you live once you're saved. And so there's a difference here for Abraham. God says there's some things you need to get away from. There's some things you need to get away from. And then not only that, back in Genesis chapter 12, look at verse number 1. Get thee out of the country, get thee from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Hey, you're not only called away from something, you're called to something. God says there's a land that I will show you. Hey, if you're saved this morning, it should be that our journey is a journey of trust in God. God says, I've got a land I want to show you. And Abraham had to believe what God said. In fact, and told you we'll get there eventually. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll come back to Genesis chapter 12 here in a second. But Hebrews chapter 11, one of the great verses on faith in the Bible. And it's preceded by verse number 6, which we talked about. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 7, of course, the faith of Noah. We talked about that last couple weeks. But look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. What a great testimony of the faith of Abraham. He went out, he didn't know where he was going. But God said, go, and Abraham went out. Abraham obeyed because God said, hey, if I was to bring you, some of you up here this morning, and you were to give a testimony, and you were to say, hey, here's where I am on my journey. If you had told me 20 years ago I'd end up here, no, there's no way. No, but I stepped out. Didn't know where God was going to take me. Didn't know where it was going to end up. Didn't know where I was going to be. And Abraham here stepped out on faith, not knowing where he was going. He trusted what God said. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. By the way, this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, God's will this morning is for you to get saved. The Bible tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So you say, I'm not sure what God, well, I tell you what He wants you to do first. He wants you to get saved. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And then once we're saved, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. As Paul writes to Timothy here, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know what God's done for all of us, verse 9? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If you're saved this morning, God has called you. His purpose, right? He's called you to do something. And it's something that was set up before the world's ever began. Just as much as it was for Timothy, it was for Abraham as well. It is the same thing for you. God has called you this morning, if you're saved, to go out and follow His path for you. Abraham stepped out. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't. Back to Genesis chapter 12. God said, I want you to go out of here. I want you to get away from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, and the land that I will show thee. He didn't tell him where. He said, I'm going to show it to you. Verse 2, and if you do it, and this is what always happens, you know, we do what God says, and we'll find this. Look at verse 2. And I will. God's going to do for us if we'll do what's right, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. I don't want to run past this real quick. Let me just tell you, verse 3 still applies today, not just in our lives and not just to Abraham, but also to the Jewish people. Hey, that's a promise of God. Let me just stop here for a quick commercial. Hey, the United States of America better always stand with the nation of Israel. And I'm a little tired of hearing our president trying to pull back the nation of Israel. Hey, no, I'm 100% for what Israel's doing.
Hey, those Palestinians, that's not their land. God gave that land to the Israelites. That's who he gave it to. Now, if man wants to recognize that or not, that's up to him. But I tell you what, I want to be on the side that promotes and supports the nation of Israel. And this is all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, because I tell you what, the hand of God has been on America, yes, because it's been a nation founded on biblical principles, but it's also been on America because they've been a friend to the nation of Israel. And so don't listen to all the news media and all the politicians. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things that President Trump did was move that embassy to Jerusalem, or move that capital to Jerusalem there, because that's to support the nation of Israel. All the other stuff, but that's important. And so don't let those around you and buy into all this stuff that the media wants to sell you and the politicians want to sell you. No, God's hand will always be on those that are friend to the nation of Israel. Hey, the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. That's what it is. And so we need to understand that. Hey, do you understand this? Jesus Christ was a Jew. He died on the cross for my sins and your sins, and he was the Son of God, and he was God himself. But and when he came to earth as a man, he came as a Jew. And so don't miss that. Don't miss that. And that's a little extra this morning. But I said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God says, here's some things I'm going to do. I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you. And that, listen, we follow what God says to do. We can expect the promises of God and the blessings of God in our life. It does not mean perfection. It doesn't mean we won't have any problems at all. No, Abraham dealt with problems his whole life. But it does mean the hand of God will be upon us if we're following God's will. And in the great here, he says, I will not only make of thee a great nation, I will not only bless thee, but then thou shalt be a blessing. If we're saved this morning, it should be as the blessings of God come on our life, we can be a blessing to other people. That's what's supposed to happen. That's spiritual growth in our lives. And so we move beyond just coming to church and accepting, okay, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, I need to go out and be a blessing to others. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so, Abraham, as you follow God, not only will I bless you, but I'll give you an opportunity to be a blessing to others. And so Abraham's called to go. And look at verse 4, very simple. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. What is that? It's obedience, right? Hey, Abraham obeyed God. Abraham did that not knowing where he was going, but he steps out and departs. He left all he was comfortable with. By the way, if you study the history of where Abraham left, Abraham was in a city called Ur, and it was a very advanced civilization. And you check the historically during that time, it wasn't like he was living on the farm and didn't have any money. No. He was living in a very advanced society. He had great riches. He takes some of that with him. A wealthy family, as best we know. A great. There was not. It wasn't like his life was terrible. And he stepped away from all that. He said, hey, I'm going to go and follow what God said to do. I'm going to go out to a place. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen when I'm there. But God said to go. And so Abraham went. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Verse number 4, he obeyed. And let me just help you with this too. When we follow God, and when we make a choice, and whether that choice is to follow the will of God or not, it always, always, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, when you make a decision, if that decision is to follow God or a decision to go away from God, it always affects more than you, always. You never, I'm going to just do this, and my wife or my children or my family, or like nobody's really watching. No, it's always going to influence somebody else. And so look what happens here as Abraham leaves, and Abraham departs. It says, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, verse 5, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. So it influences his wife, it influences Lot, and we'll talk about Lot more later on. Most of y'all know the story of that, but I'll tell you something, this. In the New Testament, you know what it tells me? It tells me that Lot was saved. Who influenced him for salvation? Abraham did. He did. All right? How did he find out about that God that could save him? Now Lot made some poor choices and some bad decisions later in his life, but it doesn't take away from the fact that Lot was saved because, and not because Abraham was saved, no, but because of the influence of Abraham. And I like this too. Let's back up just a little bit. And go to verse number 31 of chapter 11. It says, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with him from Ur of the Chaldees. So Abram started in Ur, and headed towards the land of Canaan, but didn't make it real far, came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And if you've heard preaching on this before, you know that it seems like maybe there was some incomplete obedience here on Abraham's part. And I don't know if he stopped just because his father was sick until he died. The Bible doesn't really give us that information. We know he started out a little bit and then stopped there, and then his father passed away, and then he continued the journey. But they're there in Haran. But notice verse number 5 of chapter 12. And Abraham took Sarah's wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered, and look at that, the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Now, I'm not reading something in the Bible that's not there, okay? I'm not saying that when it says souls that these means that, hey, Abraham went door to door in Haran and these people got saved. I'm not saying, I don't know how, but I do know this. There are some people that went with him from Haran that if he hadn't stopped there, they wouldn't have gone with him. And these people with Abraham, this means that some souls that went with him to the promised land that were there under the influence of Abraham. And so Abraham doesn't just go by himself. He brings some people with him. Hey, these people that were there, then when Abraham said, I'm going, guess what they said? We're going with you. And they didn't have to, but they said, we're going with you. And so Lot goes with him. These others go with him. Of course, Sarah, his wife, goes with him. So those are people, as best we know, not family, if he found them in Haran, but went with him to go forth with him into the land of Canaan. So when we make a decision, it affects others. And this group was willing to go with him. And then verse number 6, and Abram passed through the land into the place of Sichem and the place of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. So Abraham gets to this land that God has told him to go to. He doesn't know where it is. But he continues to go there, pass through the land. And then you imagine this in verse number 6. And the Canaanite was then in the land. Abraham, for the first time, sees the Canaanites. Now, I don't know what he thought, but we know this. The Canaanites were not a group of people he wanted to hang around, right? Later on, when he sends word, hey, I want somebody for my son to marry, he says, do not pick one of these Canaanites, all right? And you understand, those were against God. These were a heathen people. These were the people that eventually the Israelites are going to push out of the land of Canaan. And so he sees him for the first time. And look what happens in verse number 7. Abraham, what did he do? He departed into verse 4 as the Lord had spoken unto him. He did what God said. So what happens in verse 7? And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Now, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. In verse number 1, all it says is the Lord said. But here we have the Lord appearing unto Abram. You know, Abraham saw God after he obeyed. In other words, his obedience opened up his eyes. I tell you this, I know this is a biblical principle. If you'll obey the word of God, God will give you greater understanding of his word and what he wants you to do. You know what we want? We want to say, hey, God, I'll go on the journey. Just tell me where I'm going. And then tell me all the stops on the way and tell me what's going to happen. That's not the way it works. No, God says go. We say, okay, we'll go. And then as we go, God shows us, right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not thy word illuminates everything. No, just on that path. It's a lamp unto my feet. Hey, I can see a little further. And then God gives me a lure. I see a little further. I can see a little further. Hey, Abraham did what God said. And now, not just hearing God, he sees, he saw after he obeyed. And look what he says in verse number 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, all of a sudden, it's not faith anymore. It's sight, right? God speaks to Abraham, and it wasn't, hey, you go and I've got a land for you. No, he says, Abraham, hey, look right, that's the land I'm going to give you. Hey, that land you're standing on? Hey, where you are in Canaan? Yeah. You know, as we have faith, that faith one day is going to end in sight. Hey, our faith in Jesus Christ one day, we just talked about Ms. Leela Taylor passing away. Hey, listen, today, no longer, she doesn't need faith anymore. She doesn't. She can see all of it, right? So her faith has ended in sight. It doesn't talk about, by the way, this was, just not to get stuck on this, but it says, the Bible says the greatest of these is love, right? Faith, hope, and love. That's because faith and hope are going to be gone one day. Love will always be there. We get to heaven, love's still there. We don't need faith in heaven anymore. We don't need that anymore. Because, well, that faith is going to end in sight. So Abraham, that faith in God, now he's standing on the land that God said he's going to give to him. And so the Lord appears unto Abraham, and so what does Abraham do as he sees what God has done? Look at verse number 7. We talked about this with Noah last week. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. As Abraham sees what God has done and God's brought him to this place, Abraham says, I've got to worship God, right? Hey, this is the promised land, the place of promise, the place of worship. And so Abraham then, what does he do? He goes ahead and builds an altar to God. And isn't it great? Look at verse number 8. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel. Does anybody know what the word Bethel means? Most of y'all, if you've been in church for a while, Bethel means what? House of God. House of God. And so Abraham goes to where Bethel represents God, and the altar that he built there, and Bethel is very significant throughout the book of Genesis. But in this great, as I was reading through this again this week, look at verse 8, and pitched his tent. Now, what does that bring to mind? If you're like me and you've read the Bible a little bit, then pitched his tent, that brings to mind Lot, right? Several chapters, it's going to be Lot pitches his tent towards where? Towards Sodom, remember? And so that's sort of the beginning of Lot's downfall, his backsliding away from God. He pitches his tent towards Sodom so he can look out of his tent and see all this going on in Sodom, and that attracts him. And eventually, of course, he and his family end up in Sodom, and God destroys Sodom. Lot is saved, but his family, much of his family, is destroyed because of that sin. Anyway, but in this great, where does Abraham pitch his tent towards? And pitched his tent having Bethel on the west. Hey, you know where he pitched his tent? Right by the house of God. Hey, let me tell you something, parents. You know what you need to do with your children? Just pitch that tent right by the house of God. Hey, have them in the house of God. Have them around the things of God. Hey, don't pitch that tent where they can look out and see. No, pitch your tent where they can look out and see what God's doing, right? Hey, have them there at the house of God as much as you can. Have them around the things of God, around the people of God. Abraham wasn't interested in he didn't pitch his tent toward the Canaanites. No, I'm going towards the house of God. That's what I want to be around. If we're saved this morning, that should be our desire, to be around the things of God, to be around the house of God, not towards Sodom, not towards Egypt, not towards the Canaanites, no, towards Bethel. That's where I want to hang out. And then what does he do? There he built an altar unto the Lord, verse 8, and called upon the name of the Lord. Hey, we see the beginning of Abraham's journey. Now, let me tell you something. His journey's not going to be perfect. In fact, you can go two verses, all right? And already there's trouble. Already there's trouble. But this is the journey that begins, and that journey begins at salvation. If you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you really don't have a story to tell. You may have a story of your life, and that's fine, but you don't have a testimony when it comes to the things of Christ. Hey, wouldn't it be great if your journey began today? Hey, March 24th. Again, I can't, Brother Jeremy, tell your story because I don't know, all right? But I know Josiah's. And I know 19 years ago today, right about now, maybe a little after, somewhere in this time period, we were over at the doctor's office, and the doctor looked at my wife and looked at me and said, "You're going to have a baby today." I said, we got 6 weeks. I don't have the car seat in the car. I don't have his room straight. We're going to take care of all that in the next 6 weeks. He can't be born today. That was all in my mind. Not today. You know, his journey as part of the brother's family began 7:11, all right? So you got about 7 hours to go. And within 7 hours, we had that baby. Hey, that was the beginning of his earthly journey. But let me tell you something. Your journey on this earth, yes, your earthly journey may begin at your birth date, but if you don't have a date when Jesus Christ saved you, that's great. I'm glad for the time that we have here on earth with each other, but most important in your life is, when did Jesus Christ save you? Hey, what's your journey? If you're saved this morning, what's your journey? Hey, Abraham is a journey of faith. Not perfection, but faith. Hey, are you living is your journey? Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, are you doing what God has called you to do? Well, I don't know where I'm going. That's okay. God didn't say he's going to tell you where he's going. He just wants you to go. And are you willing to do that today? Father, Lord, thank you for the journey that you've given each one of us. Lord, for the calling on our lives. And Lord, I do. I pray this Palm Sunday morning, there's someone here that, Lord, they've been born physically, as we just talked about, and that physical date and time, we have that all written down. But Lord, there's never been a time where they've been born spiritually. Lord, it is interesting. We don't have any indication of Abraham's life the first 75 years, because really what mattered was when his life began and his spiritual life, his relationship with you began at the age of 75. And so we begin to follow his journey. And I pray, Lord, there's someone here that's never trusted you. They'd realize today could be their day of salvation. Salvation from sin. And then, Lord, I pray for those that are saved. Maybe there's some this morning that are saved, Lord. They've never gotten out. They've never gotten away from some of those sins that are keeping them from really following your will. They've never gotten away from maybe some of those people or from some of those things that they were doing before they got saved. And there haven't been changes, Lord, not changes to get saved, but changes because we are saved. That's never taken place. Or maybe there's some areas there that they need to move on this morning. So I pray for them as well. And Lord, help us to live a life of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed, not knowing whither he went. Didn't know where he's going. Didn't know where he's going, but obeyed the word of God. I pray that would be our testimony this morning, in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around. And let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? As your journey begin, do you remember a time and a place, as the man I was talking to yesterday could give me a date in September 32 years ago where he got down on his knees and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you have that? Do you know, hey, this is when I got saved. This is when I knew for sure I was on my way to heaven. My journey with Jesus Christ began. If you could say that this morning, say, hey, I know I'm saved on my way to heaven because of what Christ has done. Would you just slip your hand up like, you know, saying, no, I'm saved this morning. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. If you're this morning, you say this, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I want to be saved, and I wish I'd go to heaven, but I can't say 100% sure. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I want you to be honest before God. And we say, listen, I'm not sure about my salvation. I'm not sure if I was going to go to heaven if I died. Pray for me this morning. You just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call on you. You just slip your hand up between you and God. Say, pray for me this morning. Pray for me. If you're saved, your journey has already begun, right? Hey, your journey with Christ has already begun. Are you living a life of faith? Are you still back in that country? Are you still around that kindred? Are you still around those things? Hey, is there some things this morning you need to say, I need to get this right with God, get it settled with God. It's time to move forward. Not trusting in myself, but trusting in what God has said. I'm going to live a life. Because, hey, it's going to affect somebody besides you. And there's people around you that are watching you. You need to make sure we're living a life of faith. Not based on what we think is right, on what God has called. Are you living what God has called you to live today? Is that what you're doing with your life? Man, help God work on your heart this morning. As the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Thank you.
good, man. So glad you're here this morning. And I've got this. I'm looking. Where is Mrs. Vonna? Is Mrs. Vonna in here or not? That's nursery. Okay. I won't. Where you at, Blake? I'm gonna get this. We'll get this tonight, or we'll get this next time. All right. We'll make sure she's in here. All right. She got birthday. When was it? Yesterday. Okay, so we got to sing to her, all right? But we'll get her in here and do that, man. All right, well, great. Look, great to have you here. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock for the service. Brother Jason will be preaching for us. And, man, then Easter Sunday. Listen, we got some cards out there. Invite somebody in. Easter Sunday morning, they don't want to miss the service. So they need that. I told somebody yesterday, you got to go somewhere on Easter, right? All right, come here. All right, come here with us. And so invite somebody out this week and bring them in next Sunday. Brother White, always good to have you. And listen, I'm not disparaging you. You always look good, but you look better when you got your wife with you, man. So you look better today. Look better today. And, man, then you got Michael, too, man. It just keeps getting better and better. So great to have y'all here this morning. Why don't you close in prayer, if you would.